So this period, I think that's a lot louder now. This period will be a guided meditation on the full awareness of breathing. But before we begin this meditation, there's a few things I'd like to offer as reflections for this time here together. A few thoughts and reflections. One is about the practice of stillness. That a lot of what you're asked to do here is to be still. We encourage a lot of stillness of the body, stillness when standing, stillness in the movement of walking. And sometimes the question arises for us, why? Why do we have to be still? So to offer some reflections, the sitting posture, the posture of stillness of the body, just sitting, this is a powerful influence for our practice. Always coming back to just sitting still is a way of reminding our body and mind that this is part of why we're here. That this is part of why we're here. By giving attention to stillness, we start to bring our mind together, to unify our body and mind by being still. And in this way, our mind that can so often be fragmented, a piece of it here, a piece of it there, a piece of it there, we bring all that energy together into the stillness. And this makes a very powerful light to shine onto our lives. So often in our life, we can be moved here and moved there because something arises in our mind, a whim arises in our mind. Do this, do that. I like this, I don't like that. I want this, I don't want that. And we can find ourselves moved here and there, and sometimes blown around like a leaf from a tree, just blown in the wind of our mind that comes up with so many ideas. So in this practice, we are endeavoring to just see what is beneath all that movement of mind. If I just let go of that mind that says, I don't like this, I want this, it needs to be like this, no, it should be like this. It's okay, it arises, but if we just let go of that, what do we notice? What do we notice? I'll read a very little piece from Lao Tzu, the Taoist master. And it's a bit like this with the stillness, the physical stillness and then the mental stillness that comes. And if we practice the physical stillness, it kind of reminds us again and again, ah, okay, this is part of why I'm here. And he said, do you have the patience to wait until your mud settles and the water is clear? Can you remain unmoving until the right action arises by itself? So sometimes it's like that. If we always respond to the movements of our mind, some of them may be appropriate, but if we respond to all of them, we keep stirring ourselves up. And we stir the mud, and it's cloudy, and we can't see the clear water beneath. So do we have the patience to wait till the mud settles and the right action arises by itself? So in the sitting meditation, this can be if an itch arises. Somehow something is itching. Can we have the movement? Can we have the steadiness to remain steady with an itch? The steadiness to remain with something uncomfortable arising in the body? So whatever arises on the inner, in the inner world, in the physical world around us, or in the room of sharing this hall together, there will be so many ways that we could do it here. You know? There will be so many views right now in this room. If you haven't got a view right now about the air conditioning, then maybe you're already very still. But I imagine for us, many of us, there are many views arising right now. It should be like this. No, it should be like that. Some people prefer the stillness and the quietness. Some people feel the heat more intensely than others. There are 100 different ways it could be in this room right now. And sometimes it may be appropriate to say what it is we need, and sometimes it may be really appropriate to let it go. So the stillness of the body can contribute greatly to the stillness of the mind. And from that place of stillness of mind, then the light can be shone on our life. Otherwise, we always go to the old mind. We're always in what we know, what's familiar, and what's comfortable. And we never have the chance to see, is this old mind the whole story of who I am? Or is something else possible? So the quality that we practice is a quality of equanimity, which means a great heart of being even, with whatever arises. If it's a joy, if it's a sorrow, if it's something very neutral, like the breath sometimes can be so neutral, can we stay equal, equanimous, steady? Can we stay steady with just that moment? Just that moment. So sometimes staying still with the difficult and painful in the body, or the difficult and painful in the heart and mind. Seeing if we can extend ourselves to just ask ourselves, can I be with this? Can I be with this? Do I really know what this is? This discomfort? And exploring a little bit with our attention. Sometimes if it's becoming very intense and we start to get into a battle with our body, with our mind, with the physical body, if we start to get into a struggle, then it may be time to just back off and adjust the body. So we try to stay still, but sometimes if there's just a battle happening, it's better just to move. Just gently adjust the body and then come back to the original position. This body, the body that we endeavor to keep still, is a reflection of our intention. That actually if we express our intention in our body, just by sitting here, you're already doing that, just by coming, you're expressing your intention through the body. It actually has, over time, a very powerful effect on the heart and mind. There's one other piece, which is the piece of choice. It's a question of choice. And in the beginning of the practice, it can be very problematic if we always give ourselves too much choice. So if at the end of every sitting we say, okay, shall I do this walking or not? And we give ourselves this choice, unless there is already some steadiness, it's really not a difficult question. If we give ourselves that choice, we'll say, no, I'd rather go and do something else. So in some ways, in the beginning of the practice, it's useful to surrender, in a way. Surrender ourselves to just being here. Just being in the sitting, with all its sorrows and joys. Just being with the walking. And just see. And the authority to do that comes from you. We suggest this form, but there's no police here. The authority comes from your intention and motivation that actually comes from love. So discipline is required, but the discipline isn't from a rigid authority, the discipline that can be grown out of love for oneself and love for life. So applying ourselves because we're interested, because we care about ourselves and about this world. And the last quality that we can start to cultivate, and it's not here all the time, is the quality of a whole heart, that we can at times put our whole heart into this, and at other times we think, no, that's the last thing I want to do. But if we can, in some moments, bring a quality of wholeheartedness, okay, I'm here for these days, I'll just see. I'll just put myself here and just see. And we can cultivate a whole heart to be here in this moment. So, stillness, but not making a dogma of stillness. If we have to move, we have to move. But knowing that it has a profound effect. Equanimity, having an even heart with what arises, the pleasant, the unpleasant, or the neutral. Wholeheartedness in the moments that it's possible. And when wholeheartedness is not there, ah, that's what's happening. Half-heartedness. Just know that. And just to finish this introduction piece with a small poem. The two words you might not know are two names of two birds, a raven and a wren. It's two kinds of bird. And the poem is called Lost. And it says, "Stand still. The trees ahead and the bushes beside you are not lost. Wherever you are is called here, and you must treat it as a powerful presence. You must ask permission to know it and to be known. The forest speaks. Listen. It answers. I have made this place around you. If you leave, you may return saying, here, here. No two trees are the same to the raven. No two branches are the same to the wren. If what a tree does is lost on you, then you are truly lost. Stand still. The forest knows where you are, and you must let it find you. The forest knows where you are, and you must let it find you. So we'll begin and share a guided meditation together with whatever is arising right now. We'll use the focus of breathing, but there will be many other things that come into view. So beginning by establishing your body. And checking in that the back is reasonably upright, and that the hands are gently in the lap or on the legs. And just checking in with whatever is predominant for you right now. What's the thing that stands out most for you now? Is it thoughts? Is it heat? Is it sweat? Is it breath? Right now, what is the biggest, loudest experience for you? Just know what that is. And if you're feeling sleepy, then keeping the eyes open, focused gently ahead. And if you're not sleepy, close the eyes. Letting go of what is most predominant right now. And bringing your attention to rest with your breathing wherever you notice it most. Wherever you notice it most. Is it in the nose? Is it in the throat? Or the chest? Or the stomach area? For you, just notice which one is most noticeable. And in this meditation, we'll try to stay steady with the breathing. And when the mind wanders, that's okay. Notice where it has wandered to, and then come back. And begin again. Just being with one inhalation, that's the in-breath. Just one in-breath and just one out-breath. And now bring your attention very particularly, very focused attention to the breath as it enters the nose, as it enters the nostrils. Just that very point where it enters the nostrils. And see if you can rest your attention there with just one in-breath and just one out-breath. Not looking for any particular experience. As it is right now is how it is. Is it long or is it short? This breath, is it deep or is it shallow? This one. And this breath, is it rough? Or is it smooth? just this one. And if your mind moves to something that is not breath, that's okay. If you're noticing the heat in the body, that's okay. Notice that and then come back to one breath. Breathing in with sensitivity, sensitive to just this breath. And if the old mind arises and says, okay, seen this one, on to the next thing. If you notice the mind that says that, oh, this breath is just like the other one. Notice that. Do you really? Do you really know what a breath is? If this were your last breath, right now, would you think it was boring? And if the attention is drawn to sounds, to listening, see if we can just be steady with listening, not needing to make a story around it, letting it go and coming back to this breath. then letting go of the attention at the tip of the nose, and let the attention come to your throat, around your neck area, and see if you can be, let your attention rest with the breath as it passes through the throat. So it comes in through the nose, and then it gently moves in the back of the throat. Can you, for some moments, let the attention be there? What do you notice? Is it warm? Is it cool? Is there a difference in temperature between the in-breath and the out-breath? Look and see. If what is strongest for you right now is unpleasant sensation in the body, pain, then notice that. If it's possible to let it go, come back to the breathing. But if it is very intense, then let your attention go there. But only if it is very intense, let your attention go there. And using the breath, just stay steady and explore with your attention what we call pain. Otherwise, come back to just this breath. And now let your attention come to the chest area, and let your attention receive the rising, the up, and the down of the chest as it expands and contracts with an inhalation. The inhalation comes in, the chest expands, and with the exhalation, the out-breath, the chest collapses. staying with the direct experience of the rising and falling of the chest, just as it is. Not your idea of it or an image of it, but just as it is right now. And now let the attention come to the stomach, the abdomen area. And if it's helpful for you to be in touch with this, you can put a hand on your abdomen area and just become aware of the rising and the falling of the stomach area, not needing to make it happen. We don't make breathing happen. It happens by itself. Just as it is, the rising and falling. And letting your attention explore the sensations there. Is it pressure or softness or hot or cold? Or tightness or openness, not needing to change it, just to know it. And now expanding your attention, so not making a little focus, but making a big focus of the whole breath. So being aware of one breath as it comes in through the nose, through the throat, the chest, and the abdomen. And then being aware as it leaves, as the abdomen drops, the chest, the throat, and the out-breath through the nose. Being aware of one complete breath. And one complete out-breath. Being willing to begin again when you notice you are lost. And then expanding your field of attention to just be aware of yourself sitting here, breathing. So a big focus of attention, just this human life sitting here, breathing in and breathing out. The whole body breathing. And if this focus feels too vague or too easily getting lost, then come back to where you notice the breath most strongly. But if you can stay with the whole body breathing, and expanding your attention to include the experience of the air element. The air element that we breathe in and out is all around us. At the moment, it may feel like a very warm air element. And sometimes there's the breathing of the earth as it enters through the windows and the temperature changes. Becoming aware of the air element as it enters us, and the air element as it leaves. and fills the space. And then letting go of the outer and letting the attention become a little bit smaller and smaller to come back to the place in yourself where you notice the breath most easily and settle upon that place. And this doesn't mean that it is easy. Just finding the place where you most easily notice it does not mean it is easy. But just being willing to return again and again. So there's a few things that you can pay attention to that can help ease this situation of sitting still for long periods. First thing to be aware of is that it's not going to be comfortable for the whole time. There's no pain-free, discomfort-free body, it seems. It's part of being a human being. So some of it is coming into a balanced relationship with that, but there are things we can do with our posture that alleviate unnecessary pain. So if you have decided to sit cross-legged or you want to explore sitting cross-legged, some very important features. One is that we make a triangle with the base of the spine and the two knees. So I'll demonstrate quickly and then you can experiment when I've finished. So some people very easily can sit without much cushions. But for most of us when we begin, we need a lot of support. So feel free to make yourself a stack. You might have to bring something from your room or a blanket or something and make yourself a stack. If I just do this now and then you can experiment after, okay? What will happen with sitting cross-legged is there'll be the three points of the triangle. Here, one, two, and three. Okay? This stack can be higher. If you notice that you're getting lots of lower back pain, then make the stack higher. There's no reason why, you know, it can't be like that if I had a higher stack, if you have things to do it with. Okay. If you notice that you're sitting and your knees are up, not on the ground, like this, this will soon lead to a lot of unnecessary pressure in the back because you're really only having one support, which is the back. The knees are up in the air. There's not a strong triangle. Okay. So either if you're not in a group at 5 o'clock or a little bit later when the hall is free, experiment. The other posture that is useful is the kneeling posture. And even without a stool, you can again make a little stack and okay, like that, you have quite some stability. There's the backside and the stability of the legs here. Okay, so that's one possibility. But the pelvis, which is this, the pelvis, higher than the knees. If the knees are higher than the pelvis, it will be a problem. Okay, if you're in a chair, also it can be useful to tilt the base of the spine. Okay, so that if you're sitting on a chair, to give some height at the base of the spine so that it's not slouched forward like that. It can actually allow the abdomen and chest to be more open. So a little bit of height, feet on the ground and the arms resting in the lap or on the legs. There will be pains that arise in the body just from sitting still because we're not used to it. And some of it is exploring what that is. So that's cross-legged kneeling or a chair. So there's 2 or 3 minutes for a few questions about posture if you wish, and then we'll split up. But the encouragement is come back when the hall is free and just experiment. You know, try it with the kneeling, try it with the cross-legged, try it in a chair. But settle for one. By the end of the day, settle for one that you'll use predominantly, or else you'll think, oh, it would be better if I did this, it would be better if I did this, and it won't necessarily be.